Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the Mac news. I stuttered that. That wasn't good. And apparently the iPad the feed from us is stuttering on iPads as well, which we're trying to sort out. But there you go. We are here to discuss the week in Apple. There's not been massive amounts of news, but there is things to talk about, so it's not too bad. Joining me to wade our way through, starting us off, top left, Muller's going to come on the Mac Show. We know we're short on guests when Muller comes on here.
Oh, am I actually on there? Oh, yeah, yes.
Yes, Muller, you are live to the world.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to insult Crikey Trousers in the chat room.
Just because it'll fill airtime, I might let you do your rant today.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll shoot you down.
Yeah, yeah.
Next to him, it's Jeff.
How are you doing, Ewan?
I'm all right, mate. I'm okay. What's been going off in your neck of the woods?
You know, just hanging out, wishing it would really snow.
So you've still got no snow. Have you had no snow throughout the whole of the winter, or really?
We've had, I'd say over the whole of winter so far, we've had less than a foot total accumulation. And yeah, well, it snowed yesterday, and we got maybe 2 inches.
Mm.
So the rest of the country that counts on Colorado for water, sorry, people.
Oh, really?
I don't know what you're getting this year.
When it melts, it all flows down to them.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Half of it goes to the Mississippi River eventually and Gulf of Mexico. The rest of it goes to California. So
if it goes to the Gulf of Mexico, that means we're drying out as well then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to be. Yep. Sad situation, man.
And that voice, the dulcet tones of Coffee Joe Slurper. Steve Sandy, how's it going with you, man?
It's going quite well. And we're 60 miles apart, me and Jeffy. And, I've got a telemarketer calling me right now. Anyway.
I'll take the call live on air. That'd be cool.
And we're getting a lot more snow. Well, not a lot more snow, but more snow than we had last year, which is good.
Okay. So this is all to do with global warming, of course.
Yeah, it's probably the, what do they call it? The El Nino or La Nina. There are these, you can look it up. They are Pacific warming and cooling trends that occur in a cyclical manner.
5 years, isn't it, or something like that?
And it happens all the time.
About 5 years. Yeah.
Yep.
So, and apparently they're good wine years, aren't they?
I believe so, yes.
So
when it doesn't rain too much, during the dry years, it's much, much better.
Yeah, no, 2009 was a really good year for wine because of El Nino.
Mm.
If it gets it right, then it's quid in.
You build a wall and keep it out.
That's actually really good for you, Mother.
Oh, I love you, man.
Oh, man. So here we go then. Start the show, the week in Mac. Macintosh turns 35.
Yes.
How on earth did that happen? I blinked and 1984 was 35 years ago.
Yeah, and it's funny. I remember the day that they came out, the day that they were, I guess, first available in the Denver area. My boss and I both got in one of our company cars and we drove down to the one store in like the Denver area that had one of the 128K Macs sitting there. And that was pretty exciting. You know, kind of looked at it and went, it'll never do much. And then by the end of the year, I had my first one. So,
wow.
You know, for me, it was kind of cool because I was already in the Apple camp because I was using a Franklin Ace 1000, which was an Apple IIe clone. And so I knew this computer was coming. My dad knew a guy that could get a hold of the promotional flyers. And so he brought me home this big 8.5 by 11 fold out promotional brochure that Apple had made for the original Mac. And I hope I still have it somewhere.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think I've got one of those somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. The one with the guy that has the hand with the racing glove on it on the mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, I couldn't afford one.
Well, that was my problem. I was 17 and I was just starting in graphic art and I just glazed over because it was just like I couldn't afford it. I knew it was out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was amazing and exciting. And so I went over to Adams Computers, which is one of the original authorized Apple resellers. And of course, they're gone now. They have been for years. But I got to see one there. And, well, it was so cool. And later that year, I go off to college. And one of the guys in my dorm actually had one.
Ooh.
My.
Yeah.
Did they make, there was clones of these made, weren't there, that were running Windows? No, they weren't running Windows. There was clones of these, though, that looked like these.
Like Macs?
Yeah, I'm sure I drew on one. I'm going afterwards.
I don't remember ever seeing one.
Think about.
Maybe I was actually drawing on a Mac then, because there used to be a computer sales place up on the Coventry Road. And I went in there because it was just like, I'm going to buy one of these things. And I didn't. But I sat and drew a picture of a bloke with his eyes closed on the screen. And it looks exactly like the Mac. It probably would have been about the time of the SE, actually, more than the... than the Mac, but
you're probably on a Mac then.
I probably was on a Mac actually. I got it in my head it was a clone, but
didn't Compaq have a similar computer? Because I had a Compaq all in one, a screen and all the gubbins.
And did it look like this?
Not exactly. I had to come around and have a look what you were looking at because I can't see it.
Well, the Compaq,
the Compaq was more like a briefcase sort of thing, yeah. where the end popped off and became the keyboard,
right?
As I recall.
Oh, I had a different one. It was very similar to the Bandai kind of Macs, you know, with the screen, and then you had inside the case was the computer and the screen together, and you had to put a separate keyboard on it.
But what year was that?
That would have been the early 90s.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm getting pictures of the case up here.
A bit earlier than that. It was a horrible computer anyway, but
yeah. I just remember buying my first Mac. Like I said, during 1984, yeah, it was kind of interesting because back in those days, the one thing you went to get really, you know, good reviews of computers was Byte magazine.
Yes.
I remember reading, you know, they had this. It was kind of a snarky review of it, you know. Well, if you've got a lot of money to throw away, you could buy one of these. You know, the graphics are nice, and this mouse pointing device is interesting, you know, that type of thing. Jerry Pournelle, the science fiction writer, had I think it was Welcome to Chaos Manor or something like that was the name of his article. And he just really kind of, you know, just said, you don't want one of these. Well, I still wanted one. I thought it was pretty cool. And towards the end of the year, you know, when they came out with the 512K model, I was just, you know, really, really, really by that point getting super excited. And there was a company called 9X that had these 9X computer centers, and they had one in downtown Denver. Well, they had a test drive a Mac program where you could go in and you would sign up for an Apple credit card. And if you got the credit card and your credit was fine and everything, you could actually take one of these home for a week and try it out and then either return it or not. Right. And so I went in, filled out the paperwork. It's like 2 weeks later, finally got the credit card, you know, went into the 9X store and said, yeah, I want to check one of these guys out. And it was funny because it was the 512K, the I think at that time I had an ImageWriter 1 printer that I got with it, and an external floppy. And the price, I keep thinking, was well over $3,000.
Well, that was the reason I kind of glazed over with these when they first came out. I just knew I hadn't got the money to afford one. And there's a point from Bob in the chat room here. He's saying, Macs used to be ludicrously expensive. Then they were affordable. And now they're going back to being ludicrously expensive. And he's right.
He's right.
He's absolutely right. There's no question that Mac is no longer an easily affordable item. But I mean, having said that, they're actually probably the same price, are they not? So £3,000 ish.
Yeah, the like the original Mac, the 128K Mac, I think adjusted for inflation, that would be about $6,000 today.
Right.
So, in that comparison, I mean, you can get a nice MacBook Pro for half the price.
Yeah.
Ish.
This is Muller's Compact. That'll take a few minutes to rush up. But I remember that. I remember the compact screens that looked like that, but it feels like that's a lot later than 1984. But it's got a CD drive for a start.
But I was going to say, you could even get an iMac Pro for that amount, $6,000. Not much, but yeah, not much of one.
Back when she's saying, yeah, that's a reality. I know that, unfortunately, my next computer will be a PC, not a Mac.
Shame on you.
Well, you say that, but I think Apple have caught a bit of a cold. Have you seen their shot on an iPhone, the promos they've been doing for China?
Like the one for the
bucket,
the bucket one, yeah.
Yeah, when the woman picks the chicken up there, I thought she was going to take the head off it.
Oh my god!
I could see her just say, "Oh no!" Oh, okay, it's all right. The chicken's just throwing it across the floor. But the Chinese Apple shares short shot on an iPhone film ahead of the Chinese New Year. And there's also a bit of furore over the fact that Tim's announced this shot on an iPhone competition, and all the people are going, well, I'm not going to make it because all you're doing is stealing my copyright content. So stuff you, Apple. But I think they've realized they've got serious problems in China.
Well, but the thing with the shot on iPhone competition, they went back and added wording to the deal. They're paying people. They will pay the winners. So they are getting license fees.
Yeah. Which is the right thing to do.
But it should have been there from the beginning. That. Yeah. But I'm glad they went back and fixed that.
Yeah. The land grab on copyright is annoying. It should be illegal, actually. But there you go. For the photographer. But these Chinese New Year things, they are scared about China. They are proper. Yes, they are. I think they're proper scared about China because they're down. They reckon there was a thing that said that they reckon there were 2 million iPhones down on sales. I've got to find the story now. Did have it. Feel free to talk while I look. Oh, 2.5 million fewer iPhones sold in China with this release.
Could that be due to the trade war that's going on?
I don't know. Go on, there's a good question.
Muller, do you want to come back? I think that's part of it. I think what we have is a perfect storm going on. We have the ridiculous trade war. We have a plateau in the smartphone market overall. And I'm sure there's other factors, but I mean, that's enough to get us started right there. Between those two things, I mean, that's going to hurt phone sales.
I did see another theory on another website is that people may be holding on to their current phones, waiting for the 5K.
5G?
5G, sorry. 5G phones, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably be about 2020, and if it can hold on, they'll be out.
I think people are holding on to their phones longer. I don't think it's a holdout for 5G. I think it's just because our smartphones are already so powerful that people aren't seeing a value in upgrading to new models.
Yeah, I agree. I think to be honest, I'm using the XS Max with a cracked screen. Ouch. But I think that's I could quite happily still be on the 7. I don't think it would bother me in the slightest, really, in real terms, to not be on the XS Max. Although mm-hmm. I do love it and I don't want to change it. So.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy with my 10.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if Apple might be a little bit smarter to, rather than selling these things, just try to do like the iPhone upgrade plan that they've got right now, but just kind of make that the only way that you can buy an iPhone. I don't know if people have a desire to actually own these devices. I've been doing the iPhone upgrade plan for the last 2 years, 3 years, something like that. And I love being able, every year to go in and say, here's my old phone, give me the new one. Oh, great, I've got some neat new features I can try out there. And I don't feel the real pain of, the prices going sky high like they are, since basically I'm just paying a fixed monthly amount. And that amount, it changed a little bit between last year and this year, but not that much.
You know, I'm on the upgrade plan too, through AT&T, and I didn't upgrade this year, and I know several other people who didn't as well.
Did you get a financial benefit?
AT&T said, yeah, we're not going to let you have a month or two extra to let you do the upgrade a couple months early. So you're going to have to pay us $500 upfront if you want to do the upgrade. And and just like many other people, I thought, I think my iPhone 10 is going to be just fine.
Yeah. Bob says same here. I didn't upgrade this year either. Was that price, Bob, or not? 7 Plus has got a great battery life and it does the job just fine, says Batwinch. Crikey Trouser is saying, I've still got 7 Plus. It's an awesome phone. Does the job well. Bob Beach says he started using his Surface Pro much more than his MacBook Pro these days. It's much more versatile. It's got touch, excellent pen, detachable keyboard, lighter, more portable. I only heard good things about the Surface Pro. My 2008 MacBook Pro still runs well, says Windrider. The 2011 Don model died in 2017. Same as Muller's, really.
Well, it hasn't died yet, but it's on the way.
It hasn't died yet. So should we let Muller have his rant? Muller, what's your rant?
Well, my rant is that I'm a bit annoyed because I went into Birmingham Apple with my Mac Pro. Well, I didn't take it with me. And I just said, how much for a new battery in a 2011 Mac Pro? And they basically said, it's a vintage and we won't repair it. To which I went, what? It's only once a battery. But apparently they won't fix it because as far as they're concerned, it's vintage. So I'm going to have to do it myself because the battery's on the way out, but I'm just very annoyed that they think they can just get away with not, I mean, it's not like there's a major issue with it.
Well, no, you do know that I'm not going to agree with you.
Oh, I know that because
we've been ranting in the Slack room, yeah. But the thing is, and here's my thought, is that they're not, they haven't made it so you can't fix it, because you can fix it, you can get a battery, but the analogy that was used this morning with the car industry, and I put this in because I used to do a lot of work for a firm that made window regulators for cars, and they used to have a line that they made, and as the orders started to dwindle from them because productions went down and then eventually stopped, they'd get rid of all the machines and they'd just have one guy who'd come in and he'd make a few here and there on demand. And they'd go off to Unipart, and Unipart would then supply third-party stuff. And the thing was that was really weird, because it was still the original manufacturer of the original part that went in the car, like the Jaguar, the Rover, the whatever. Eventually, they would get to the stage where they'd say, no, we're not installing it, because we can't verify that it's not a Rover standard part. And that was the problem. And I think that's the problem that you've got, Muller, is that they've got, Apple are going, well, we don't manufacture, we're not paying anyone to manufacture spares anymore for that. So therefore we can't verify the parts. So therefore we're not installing it. And it's a risk we don't need to take. And for, come on, it's 7 years old, man. And I'm the first to give Apple shit. So I'm not saying that from any other viewpoint than,
Well, what about the fact that it's a perfectly working computer,
yeah,
and that Apple expect me to trash it?
No, they expect you to get it fixed elsewhere.
Well, yeah, but that's the same with your car. You could do that and get.
They will do that in the end. That's the point.
I will get a battery. I'll have to wait a bit longer, but I know eventually the battery will die and it'll take the whole computer down as it did last time. And I thought that actually the logic board had died last time, but it was the battery. I know that somebody else has got a problem with the battery as well, and I know that if you run them too long, they start to expand, and that causes problems with all sorts.
Yeah, you want to get that out now, and because it will crack your casing if it starts to swell.
Well, it affects the touch. It's underneath the touch bar, so the touch bar starts to play up, and I know when that starts to play up that I've got to get it out quick.
Right, so let's get you one on the internet this afternoon, and we'll get it fixed for you on Monday. All right, mate.
Okay.
And then you can stop taking up column inches.
Well, it's good in the slap room because it's quiet if I don't start some fight in there.
I'm sorry, guys.
And you and I am totally with you. I think that this is just exactly what it looks like on its surface. Apple can't stock parts for every single computer they've ever made.
Yeah.
So they have to have a cutoff at some point. And if your computer is older than whatever that cutoff date is, sorry, you have to go to a third party to get the parts you need.
And the repairs made, yeah. Miller's just pissed off because they looked at my Mac SE.
Yeah, well, that's because they know who you are.
Exactly. I'm a personality. I'm a celebrity, man.
You are.
You'll end up getting swamped.
I'm going to get some emails. God, that pedestal's not going to stay. It's going to be rocky before you know it.
I mean, you walked in and they went, oh, you and Rankin.
No, they went, oh man, that Mac's,
I totally get it.
That Mac's 10 years older than me.
I mean, that
that was one kid was 10. The Mac was 10 years older than him.
That's amazing. I was about to say I had the same feeling when we had dinner together, but then you said the Mac is 10 years older than me, and I was afraid you'd think that I was thinking at dinner, wow, Ewan's a lot older than I am, which is not the case. I was just excited.
Are you older than me? Or are you younger than me?
We're about the same age.
I'm 52 this year.
Okay, and I just turned 53.
Okay, so you still got me. That's good.
Yeah, but we both have our looks, so there's that.
Yeah, but women fancy you more than they fancy me. I'm not on the moist list. Even though I've lost weight, I'm not on the moist list.
I think it's my crazy American accent.
Yeah. Los Angeles Metro Transit System plans to support Apple Pay by the autumn of this year. I was gobsmacked because London Underground supports Apple Pay, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used it. I can verify that. Yes.
What on earth is LA screwing around at?
It's the United States.
Well, and I was going to say, who actually rides the transit systems in Los Angeles anyway? Everybody's on the freeways sitting in a traffic jam.
Is really, are the transit systems not used there much then?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's about the transit system. I think it's about the United States is so messed up with technology and credit cards. And the number of companies that... Or at least retailers that are out there that don't even know what contactless payment is, don't even know that you can link a credit card to your phone or your smartwatch. And the ones that do, they all seem to have excuses about why they can't make the transition to technology that other countries have been using for years already. And it's stupid. The number of retailers I go into every week where I use my Apple Watch to pay that freak out because they didn't even know that they had a system in place that would do that.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. It's
well, and it's so funny, you know, because there are still places. There's a gas station that I go to all the time, and well, not all the time, but anyway.
Well, when you're empty, we get that.
A contactless reader there. And so immediately when I saw that, I was like, I got to give it a try. And the transaction went like this, you know, walk up there, do the Apple Watch, hold it up. You could feel the Apple Watch pulse telling you, oh, yeah, you know, we've got the transaction going here. And then the keypad on the gas pump comes up and says, enter your zip code. So I entered that. And then it just threw the transaction away. It said, no, you know, can't do this. So I went in and asked and said, why can't I do an Apple Pay payment when you've got the reader sitting right out here? I don't know. You'll have to talk to corporate about that. And that's right, what you get a lot over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a very similar experience at my local gas station. They finally got the contactless readers at the pumps. Didn't work. I went inside and asked, and the staff had no idea what I was talking about. They didn't even know that their pumps had been changed out.
Oh, man. Well,
yeah. Did they do it overnight or something?
I was going to have a... Because, like, I mean, the bank I'm with, they allow me to use my personal card on Apple Pay and do the face recognition, which I've got to say, I can't see how that's not incredibly secure. Incredibly secure. You're not going to clone that, are you? Because I haven't even physically got the card with me. So, but they won't let me do it for my business account.
And it's just like, I've got that same issue.
Why don't you do this? Because that is incredibly secure. And I'm just thinking, well, yeah, but there's more money in your business account than there is in your... Yeah, I know that, but that's so why I want the security. You're mad. You're absolutely mad. Why the whole world is not going, do you know what? Facial recognition, Apple Pay, that is secure as it gets. Someone's going to write and tell me I'm not.
Your credit never even used in those transactions.
No, I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So much better.
I'm a devotee. I love it. I just take money now and I put it into the private account and just put a sum of money in there, spend it, periodically look at my phone to check when it's running down, and then put a bit more in because I'm just, and my I know what's going to happen. My accountant's going to go, well, how come you stopped using the expense account and you started using your private account? Because then, you know, taxman's going to get upset about that. Because I had my business account cloned the other week and some little shit went to the cinema in Ely. And I don't with the other one since I got rid of the card, put it on Apple Pay. Apple is cutting 200 jobs from its Project Titan autonomous car team. This week, they've removed more than 200 employees from the team known as Project Titan. Apple spokesman confirmed the layoffs, but said that Apple continues to believe there's a huge opportunity with autonomous systems. Is this in retrospect as well? Is this falling down?
I don't know. I think that we, the collective we, have made a lot of assumptions about what Apple is doing with cars and AI and autonomous vehicles. And so based on that, it's really easy for us to say, oop, they just axed 200 jobs. Their project is failing. We don't really know what the project is. It, you know, it may be this is a group of people that they needed for part of a project. That part is complete. And now they're just being a ruthless corporate entity and saying, fire the people. We don't need them. Or maybe they have a car project that is completely jacked up in the most horrible ways and is failing. And they have to cut people to try and get the cost back under control.
What's your view, Steve?
Well, you know, it's been so weird about this entire project because, you know, first you were getting the, oh, wow, strange noises are coming from this Apple facility at night, you know, and they're, obviously they're building a car. Then you have the vans running around. Then there was some word about they're actually working on autonomous vans so they can shuttle their employees around the Bay Area. And, you know, all these rumors, and there still hasn't been a solid piece of evidence that says exactly what they're doing. And, you know, of course, they're not going to just come out in, you know, next week at their earnings call and say, hey, by the way, here's what we're doing. You know, they're definitely not going to play their hand there. But I have to wonder if they're looking at some of the pushback that has already occurred with, you know, just a few tiny accidents. Well, a few deaths here and there, you know. Okay, weren't tiny accidents. But anyway, I'm wondering if maybe they're looking at some of the pushback we're seeing on autonomous vehicles and saying, do we really want to be associated with that? You know, then again, you know, we don't know what they're doing. It could just be that it's a software, you know, maybe they're working on software and hardware for their car manufacturers. Who knows? But I kind of have to agree that 200 employees,
that's a lot.
That could be out of 2,000. It could be out of 20,000. We don't know.
Yeah. But the other thing as well with the fatality stuff, if you look at the number of miles driven, I bet you the quantities are insignificant compared to standard road deaths. But the problem is, to have a risk-based decision about standard road deaths is Ford Pinto lines, isn't it? I mean, it's not, you know, it's... Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. It's 150 million to retool the line. It's probably going to pay about 40 million in death civil claims. So we'll just carry on making it.
You know, another thing with this whole car thing is that Tim Cook may have blatantly told us already what the objective of this autonomous vehicle program is. And it's not a car, it's AI. Tim Cook said at one point in a public venue, it may have even been an earnings report call, I can't remember, but he said the best way to learn about AI is to make a car.
Right.
And so this whole car thing may be all about just creating the most advanced commercially available AI system. So this may just be the beginning of a very long game that Apple is playing. And if that's the case, then there'll be times where they need fewer people on this specific team and times where they'll have to beef it back up again, depending on what they're doing. So this may just be part of a cycle in the longer AI game.
Yeah, if you look at the complete haulix that Tesla's making of not being able to manufacture a really popular car to the same quantities, no spares for it, all that kind of stuff. Apple would be absolutely bankrupt inside 5 years if they started to try and make a vehicle and couldn't hit targets, couldn't hit. And the chances are it would be a, you know, $100,000 vehicle. So no one's going to buy it.
I was going to say, though, I think I live in what's called Douglas County, Colorado. Seriously, I can't go out for a drive without seeing at least two or three Teslas every day. So they're very popular in some areas.
They're very popular in Boulder.
That's
as well,
not my problem. The trouble with Teslas is you can't make them fast enough.
You can't make them fast enough.
And you can't get spares for them when you crash them, and you're going to crash them.
Well, they've cut their stuff as well, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So
for that very reason.
So. Yeah, but you think they'd increase the stuff to make more cars? Shouldn't it be the way around?
Someone, God help that cat, for God's sake.
Oh, that's my cat talking to me.
Oh, it's okay.
We got all the strange noises here. We got the
cat, you do.
We got the sump pump, we got toilets.
The coffee, the water bottle, yeah, it's all there. And then some bloke who just starts talking. Bob's put an absolute killer line in. How old has a Tesla got to be before they refuse to change the battery?
7 years, apparently.
Batwinch says, going back to the credit card thing, what happens if someone has a business card with Face ID and then they leave the country? Can they disassociate the person? Well, I'm presuming that's because the card, they just cancel the card.
Yeah, you just cancel the card.
Yeah.
You know, I have had business cards that link to Apple Pay, no problem.
Yeah, we haven't.
And Yeah, and it's just because each card, even though it's a single account, each card has its own number.
Yeah. I don't know why they won't let me do it, but they won't let me do it.
I think it's stupid. Yeah,
bastards.
Don't they know who you are?
Exactly. Exactly my point.
Yeah, my business, I mean, I have the same card. It's Chase, you know, Chase Bank, one of their Visas. I've got that card, and I've got a business card as well. The personal card, no problem. I can use it with Apple Pay day in and day out. Every time I try to add it to Apple Pay, it says, can't do it.
I've got a mate who works for Chase, mate. I'll have a word for you. You'll be fine.
That's it. You're stuffed.
Microsoft has launched, wait for it, drum roll, Office 365 on Mac. How good's this?
Yeah. So you can get it through the Mac App Store now, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can. So the thing is as well, I've tried to try and buy each individual application on its own, and it still wants you to, it's also included with 365. But when it says in-app purchases and you click on in-app purchases, it gives you Office 365 Personal, Home and Solo at £59, £79 and £112. But it doesn't say that you can just put Word on or you can just put Excel on. I'm not sure whether it does or not.
Huh.
So I'm going to, just for the purposes of journalistic integrity here, I'm just clicked install. And we're going to see whether it actually does it or not. But you have to do it as in-app purchase. It won't let you buy the package straight away. I get loads of grief from people going, oh, why haven't you got Word? Why haven't you got Excel? And it's just like, because I've got Mac. Well, yeah, but it's no good with anything, is it? And this isn't going to install before the end of the show. So it's putting the whole of 365 on, I reckon, then.
Okay, so I'm looking at it on the Mac App Store right now, and I'm curious if you're seeing the same thing I saw, where you can get the entire bundle, or you can select to download each of the apps individually.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm saying. I'm clicking on just Word to install it. It looks like it's installing just Word, but actually when you click the purchase options, it says 365 Personal, 365 Solo, 365, whatever the other one is.
Okay, I've got it now.
Malik Potter has bought it and left a review. can't log into my email accounts anymore. Bad luck, Malik.
Well, think of all the spam you're not going to get.
Microsoft should give up now and stop making software for the Mac. This is something beyond their capabilities. That's his review. Bad luck, Malik. Sorry, man. Oh, it's 4.1 gig. Jesus.
Wouldn't do that, then.
I wonder.
Seriously?
Yeah, holy crap. I've stopped it.
That's like installing Xcode.
Why'd you need that much data? But, you know, code just for a simple Office program?
Because of all the features.
Oh, God.
I mean, the ability to open a text document, mate, with graphics in it. Gee, come on. Doesn't come cheap. I got to say, actually, though, there is a pain in the ass to having, because Keynote, I love Keynote, and I work with it well, and I use it for making little animations for films and that kind of stuff. But everywhere you go, someone goes, have you got PowerPoint? Well, can I plug my computer in? No, we'd rather have your PowerPoint and put it on a single computer because we don't have to start swapping cables. You're like, damn. And then you do an export, and it's like no font present, no such and such, no whatever. Yeah, I'll give over.
I'm a jerk when I get that and they say, oh no, we just want to put everything on one computer, and I say, well, I'm going to do the presentation from my computer, so either we have to hook it up to your screen, or everyone's going to have to circle around my computer. And yes, I know there's 150 people in this room.
Good on you, mate. Good on you. That's utter rubbish, says Bob Beach. I'm guessing he's talking about Malik, although there is an awful lot of utter rubbish talked. That's rubbish about MS apps on the Mac. They've been true in the past, but it's not true now. Yes, you can export numbers to Excel and vice versa. You can't do vice versa. That's rubbish, Magic Man. You can't.
You can import Excel into numbers, but you can't export Excel to numbers.
Yes, that's right. Excel just goes, I'm Excel. I'm not learning Spanish. Uno, biro, mucho, pleaso. appalling. Office 365 is crap, says Magic Man. Good I don't think it is, actually. It's all right. I've got it on my MacBook Pro, and it's okay. I can live with it. Not the end of the world.
Can't you just use Wine on a MacBook and use the one you've already got and run it in Windows?
Go on, how do you mean?
If you install Wine on your Mac, then you could just put Windows on, and then Wine will stay, both will stay live, so you should be able to just export between.
All right, okay. We'll have a chat about that later then.
Okay.
Is that it? Is there anything else? Apple-branded over-ear headphones are coming. They're going to launch as early as second half of 2019.
Yay.
I couldn't really give a shit.
So they're taking the Beats sticker off and putting an Apple sticker on?
Exactly. And they've got to wait till second quarter 2019 for that crap.
And then charge it.
Well, you know, that they have to go through the QA process for the sticker.
Yeah.
and increase the price by 50%.
We sure sound like a group of 53-year-old men, don't we?
Yep.
Bah humbug.
The Beats are too bass heavy, though, aren't they?
They are.
Yep.
And they give
and three to get off my lawn.
To JBL as well, jumping loud. I've had Word, Excel, etc. on my laptop for yonks. I am confused, says Batwinch. I don't know whether those are mutually exclusive statements or not. Feedy's gone, not coming back in Chrome.
Maybe we just need a clarification then, which is sure, Office 365 has been available for a while. The big difference is that it's easier for some people to get now because it's available in the Mac App Store.
Magic Man is saying, why on earth would you want to put Windows on your Mac to run Windows programs? Just thinking out loud. Sorry, mate. Just guessing. I've got some applications that don't run on Mac, so I just thought I'd put Windows on using Parallels in contiguous mode, and it's really actually pretty effortless. And it's brilliant.
Yeah, I love Parallels.
I just don't like the obsolescence in Parallels.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Parallels is a fantastic piece of software. I'd never slag it off for its functionality, but they obsolete it every 2 years. And that pisses me off immensely. No, because they're obsoleting it. But actually, you look at, I think the one that really got my goat was the one where we went to Mountain Lion, and then the next one, and everyone's going, the architecture's absolutely identical under the hood, but sure enough, Parallels said, oh no, you're going to have to buy Parallels 9 now because it won't work with Mavericks or whatever it was that came afterwards. I was like, that's utter bollocks. I'm not having that, and it is utter bollocks. They're a bunch of arseholes for that.
Parallels just get bought out by somebody, or am I confused?
Yes, Parallels was just bought. I think it was a U.S. company that bought them, and now I can't remember who Apple. It was.
Apple.
Yeah.
Apple is going to, now it's going to have an upgrade cycle of a year. There are two.
Googling it.
Let's see. Oh, Corel out of Canada. That's who just bought.
That's
Parallels.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay. That's cool. The Canadians are nice.
Yeah. So maybe that will change this whole every 2 years you have to get a new version thing.
Oh, actually, now thinking about it, talking about arsehole companies around the Mac, Sharon grabbed me this week. She said, I've got a problem. What's up? She said, I've got a virus on my computer. You got Sophos on there. Has Sophos given you? No, she said, it wasn't that. I was in a web page, and then I got a picture came up in the middle of the browser telling me I got a virus.
I've had that.
Okay. Did you click on anything? I don't think so, no. You must have clicked on something for it to actually happen, because that's a responsive thing. And she went, I don't know. I said, was there a picture of a white robot with a pair of blue eyes on it on that page? And she went, yeah, there was. I said, you haven't got a virus. That's just the wankers at MacKeeper.
There is another one, because I got one the other day where it came up and started flashing. I had that like buzzing noise.
It's MacKeeper.
No, it weren't MacKeeper. It was another one. I just closed down the web browser and started again, because just in case.
That's what porn sites do to you, mate. Be careful. I had a conversation with someone. I was like, well, how on earth a MacKeeper? I put it in the Slack room. How on earth a MacKeeper allowed to do? I mean, that is really disgraceful business practices, and I cannot begin to think how. I mean, in the UK, they would absolutely be pilloried by the ASA for that if they found them. That's not a good practice.
Apple should block them.
The whole world should. There should be we should all chip in a quid and get a massive worldwide advertising campaign that says, do not believe a word that comes out of MacKeeper's mouth, because they're all a bunch of arseholes. And the fact that they all
here first.
And the fact they all turned up on, and this is what really pissed me off, the fact they all turned up on porn sites and dodgy sites, and they went, oh, well, no, we just put like an AdSense thing and it just came up. We didn't get to choose where it was placed. Yeah, righto. Sorry, mate. Your business practices are so shit. I don't believe that for a minute. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah. If your ads are showing up just on porn sites, that's not AdSense making that happen.
And you're not in porn, then
right.
If you're in porn, then good. That's where you want them. But did all of that come out? I thought that was just my inner monologue. Sorry. I didn't mean any of it. Not so. Excel is a different league from Numbers, for example. Yes, it is. All the macros and that kind of stuff. It does do a lot more. That's fine. Don't Corel do drawing stuff, says Backwinch? Yes, they do. And they do a lot of stuff as well for my printer runs off Corel Print.
They also have WordPerfect, which, if you can believe, is still alive. Yes, Corel does WordPerfect.
Are you going to tell me that Page, what's it, still around? I can't remember the name of the piece of software. Page something.
Oh, well, I know you're about,
That was big in the 90s.
Yeah. I used to get free of some.
Oh, I can't remember the name of the software. Come on, chat room. What was the piece of software that was Page something, or whether it was Page? You could compile. It was like a desktop publishing system.
Oh, not PageMill, because that was actually a web page thing.
Front Page? No.
Front Page was a violation of the Geneva Convention.
It was shareware originally, wasn't it?
I was thinking of Front Page, maybe.
I think I know the one you're on about.
No, it's Front Page.
Front Page is just for making crappy web pages.
No, it wasn't Front Page then. It was Page. Can't remember. This is great audio, isn't it? I'll fill with time. Batwinch says she's just gone to the wiki on MacKeeper, and the first entry is, this is a utility software distributed by Chrome Tech Alliance, a controversial product. It has been accused of not performing as advertised and being difficult to fully uninstall. That's mild. I nearly said a bad word then.
Ooh, Magic Man brought up WordStar. That was my first word processing app.
I remember using WordStar.
Wow.
I had a CPM daughter card that I put into my Franklin Ace 1000 and used it for WordStar.
Did you have to use the pedal to get the electricity going for it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Get this. The CPM card that I put in my Franklin was made by Microsoft. They used to make accessories for the Apple II line.
But that's software now. Pretty sure I got the Scott Mole written Slack.
Page Plus.
Page Plus.
That was it. I've just gone to Wikipedia and I've put in 90s desktop publishing. It said Page Plus, made by Serif.
That's it.
For Microsoft Windows.
But they had hundreds of programs, didn't they, that ran with it?
First commercial desktop publishing application that was under £100 for Mac for Microsoft Windows. The last final release of Page Plus was Page Plus 9, released in November 2016.
Wow. Good grief.
Well, they used to.
You can still get it on Amazon.
You're joking. $24.99,
only 6 left in stock, but more are on the way.
Oh, mate, that's an extinction right there, isn't it?
Oh, my God. For Windows Vista, Windows 8, Windows 7.
PageMaker as well. Back when you said PageMaker.
PageMaker, yeah.
I think
I loved PageMaker.
Adobe PageMaker.
That tells me you didn't actually work in the printing industry.
No,
you're right. We called it RageMaker.
Didn't PageMaker just translate to InDesign?
I bet Quark.
No, but I can tell you what happened. And who was it that owned PageMaker at the time? Was it
Aldus?
Aldus. No, it went from Aldus to Macromedia, I believe. And Macromedia was working on a totally new product from the ground up. So it was supposed to be like this page layout app that was a framework. And then you plugged modules into it to make it do whatever you needed for your particular type of page layout projects. And they were going to release it as a complete replacement for PageMaker. And so it was just whatever version of PageMaker was at that point, they were just going to call it the next version number. And it was going to be completely new from the ground up. And Adobe wanted this so they could compete with Quark Express head on. So they bought the company and they continued to release PageMaker while they worked on getting this other product up and running, and that other product ultimately was called InDesign.
Interesting. Yeah, that's right. From 2005, these features were bundled into InDesign in CS2, which offered half price to existing PageMaker customers. No new major versions of Adobe PageMaker have been released since, and it does not ship along Adobe Design. Adobe InDesign. OS 2.
Oh, that was a...
OS 2 was IBM's shit, wasn't it?
It wasn't. No, that was just an operating system.
Yeah, it was.
I installed it once. It was all right, but just nothing ran on it.
OS 2 was IBM's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was funny. During the 9 years that I worked for IBM, they were really pushing OS 2 at that point. Nobody wanted it on their machines. We were all running Windows. Nobody wanted OS 2.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a page setting. Do you remember typesetting? You used to have machines that would print out the film and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one there, and the keyboard was integrated, and the CPU and everything was integrated into this thing, and you stood in it like you were in a cockpit. And then the processor was to your right, where the paper would come out at the other end printed.
So it's like that, Mother from Alien.
A little bit, yeah. And that was OS 2. Fired.
Wow.
8 Morrow interactions. You get OS 10.
Yeah, OS 2.
No, OS 2 was IBM, mate.
I was joking.
It was the Antichrist, wasn't it, for Jobs? Christ.
OS 2 was bought by somebody, and I can't remember who bought it.
Well, they're no longer around, so who cares? This podcast and all the others is brought to you by Telestream. Telestream, yes. But TSO hosts are also our main sponsors. They have... they've looked after us this year incredibly. Please support them. There was a wonderful load of tweets last week saying thanks to TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. Do that again this week, please, everyone. That was absolutely brilliant. Please, please, please. That's all they want from the BTN community is to take to the social media and say, PSO, thanks for supporting at British Tech. It's brilliant. And also Telestreamer, give us all the software for doing the screens behind and all that kind of thing. That's all they want from us as well. So that's superb. Please, please, please do that. And also thanks to Hoya for my glasses, as always. I've got my Jordan ones back now, and I'm very happy that I have those back, because otherwise, I'm afraid I'd be crying. Definitely. Right, time for the cool thing. Jeff, stick a link in the chat if you've got anything, and start us
off. There you go. Okay, so my cool thing, it's something that I've talked about before, probably just on the Big Show, though, and it's Luna Display, and it's this little dongle that plugs into your Mac and then lets you wirelessly use your iPad as a second display. And it unlike other products, it lets you actually use the graphics card in your computer to drive what's being shown on your iPad. So you get better performance and it's really cool. So they just released a software update that makes this even smoother than it was and cuts down latency even more. And it's amazing.
Does this let you use your second screen to touch control your Mac?
Sure, if you want.
So you could put a screen, you could put a window over onto the second screen, and then you can interact with touch on that window.
Yes. Oh, and I've used it with Photoshop. So I've been able to use my iPad like a Cintiq tablet. Nice. From Wacom, because I just put the Photoshop window on the iPad and work with it with my Apple Pencil.
Yeah, AstroPad does something like that, but it's not got this kind of really good core functionality. There's a person there just used the interactive with the menu bar to get it to come up to open a program. Oh,
yeah, awesome. It's amazing. And with the software update that came out, I think it was at the beginning of this week. So it brings the software up to version 3. Oh man, this thing is fantastic.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's I just clicked buy now with a sense of dread.
Yeah, and it's like I think $79.
$80, yeah.
I forgot. Mine's sitting on my desk right now. This is it. That's the whole thing right there.
That's cool.
And so mine is USB-C, but they also make a mini DisplayPort version.
Is it set up fairly easy or?
Yeah. You download an app onto your iPad and onto your Mac, and you just need to plug the little dongle in, and then you launch the apps, and then it just does its thing.
Awesome. Hmm.
Any limitation on age of Mac?
Oh, shut up. it comes in USB-C or mini DisplayPort, and it's $80.
And it's awesome, especially with the new software update that just came out.
That icon looks familiar. Is that
it's the same company that's been making a software-based.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Screen share thing.
AstroPad.
Yeah, AstroPad. Yep.
Yeah, awesome.
Same company.
Good pick. Thank you.
Say, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Bob Beach just put in the chat. It says, is it better than Duet Display?
Yes, absolutely. It is better than Duet Display.
Praise indeed. Is it available in the UK?
Hope so, because you need this.
Yeah, because I haven't seen a sterling price, so that's worrying. Very worrying. Good, cool thing. Steve, what have you got for us, mate?
Since we talked about Microsoft a lot today, there is one Microsoft app that I've been using for like a little over 2 years, and I use it every day. I subscribe to it. It's a $9.99 premium, I guess you could say, subscription, And it is called Microsoft Solitaire Collection. And I remember Windows when it first came out and it had that solitaire game. Well, that's been out for, it'll be 26 years this year.
Oh, my God.
What this does is it has five key games that you can play. Every day there's a daily challenge. They have, Bob Beach says, I love it too, Steve. There are tournaments that they have. It's just a lot of fun, and it is a huge time waster. If you love solitaire or love just wasting time, it's a great, great, great game. And, you know, like I said, you can use it without ads for $9.99 a year. The ads are pretty obnoxious, I got to admit. You know, they were showing one for, Jeff, you'll love this, Franklin D. Azar.
Oh, no way.
Yes, so they localized the ads. And so here was a Frank Azar ad. I just went, that's it, I'm paying my money. But anyway, they, or you can put up with the ads and it's a free app, but it is really, really good. Batwinch says he has that app on premium and also has Wordament. I just got into Wordament in December. Love it. That's another really addictive app, but I'm on World 13 and I'm trying to figure out if I'm ever going to get any other worlds. So she knows what I'm talking about.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that one a lot. Muller,
what mine, have you got for us? Mine's further up. It's a free app.
Sorry.
And it's a VR app, so comes from BBC. And if you find yourself a nice flat surface, it displays objects and, well, all sorts of objects, and you can swivel around, have a quick look at them.
Civilizations. AR. I think James Rickard's picked this a few weeks back.
Did he?
Yeah, and you can put yourself, you can sit in the toilet and you can have Tutankhamun's sarcophagus next to you.
Yeah, that's the sort. You need a flat, you need a flat surface.
I'm not the only one that's done that then.
You just need a flat surface to work on, and it's quite good. It's I've just had the Rosetta Stone in your office, but it was a bit big. I couldn't see all of it, but yeah, real cool thing to it's have a playoff, and it's free.
Free, and there's no in-app purchase either. It's just free.
Free.
Plain and simple. Right. Free.
Worth a play with, anyway.
My cool thing, and this is going to surprise some of you, I went sailing a few years ago with a friend who owned a boat, and I really enjoyed it. And I got the idea of tacking, and I got the idea of the telltales and that kind of stuff. And then I got an advert pop up on Instagram saying, would you want to try ASA, the American Sailing Association's Sailing Challenge? And it's really good. I thought it was going to be really sad and horrible. And there's no in-app purchase. You've got to buy it. It's $3.99 full stop. But I love it. I sit down and it's so relaxing. You sail around the Bahamas in your own boat and it gives you a course to steer, or you can just go and sail around wherever you fancy. There's challenges to do as well. You've got to get into the harbor at night and things like that with low light. You get crosswinds as you're trying to enter the harbour entrance if you do it on the higher settings. I am absolutely addicted to this game. I love it. And I would have said this was a piece of crap and what on earth would I want to do with it. But I just saw the video on Instagram and I thought, yeah, I'll give it a punt. And it's brilliant. So there you
very
go.
Very cool.
£3.99, the ASA's Sailing Challenge. I did look for a British version, but there isn't one. I thought your pick was going to be a yacht then for a second.
A yacht.
Yeah, business is good. So my pick is a yacht. The other thing I want to say as well is some of you may have played the Golf Clash application that I recommended a little while ago. We've got a BTN clan. So if you're playing Golf Clash, look for the BTN clan. Come and dive in. We're doing well. We're in 30th in our league at the moment. Ellis here is getting better and better. He's won a few tournaments. Paul Shadwell's in there. There's a few of the guys from the Slack room have joined. James is in there too. So come and join us. Download Golf Clash and get yourself up past level one, and then you can enter clans in level two and you can come and join the clan and we can have loads of fun and we can play against each other then. So if we follow each other on Facebook, we can have a Facebook game. So join in. Clash, Golf Clash. That's the application. Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Muller?
Muller Biker on Twitter, Muller999 on Instagram, and in the Slack room, winding everyone up.
Yeah, doing a good job at the moment.
Well, at least it gets people talking in there.
Yeah.
Because some days there's nothing going on and I just put something in and it goes off on eight.
But I just would have thought that if you want people to talk, right, it would be, I'd like them to say something that's constructive and nice and debating rather than just Muller's a wanker.
Well, we have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would I buy a Sunseeker? No, because that's a powerboat. I wouldn't buy a Sunseeker. I want a sail, mate. Jeff, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com and Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, and I get around, so I'm easy to find.
How's the new job working out for you, mate?
I love it. Like, seriously, I really love it.
Good, man.
I loved everyone that I worked with at Mac Observer, and I love everyone that I'm working with now at Smile. It's been a really fun change.
Excellent, mate. Good to hear it. Good to hear it. And I know you're not just saying that, so.
No, it's totally true.
Yeah. Aye, aye. Alexa, even Alexa says that it's good. There we go.
See?
Steve, where would you be?
You can find me at Apple World Today. That's appleworld.today. I'm also on the MacSales.com blog, which you can get to by going to therocketyard.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Stephen Sandy.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well as. Please remember to tweet out for TSO hosts and for Telestream as well as. We'll be back with a big show at 8 p.m. after we've gone and had a curry. And then next week, Mac Show is going to be back on Friday as normal. If it's not on Friday, it's not happening. See you next week. Thanks for listening.